nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Paul J. Meyer said, "Self-motivated people make commitments. Ordinary people make promises." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two guests who are extremely motivated. Our first playmaker is the Queen of Steaks, while our next playmaker is a CEO who knew he'd go into architecture at the age of 9. With us today is the owner of restaurants whose life story epitomizes the American dream, while our next guest is a CEO who began his business in 1960 and was the second Hispanic councilman for the city of Dallas. These great playmakers are D. Lincoln. D. is the owner of D. Lincoln Steak Bar and D. Lincoln Concepts. And Pedro Aguirre. He is CEO of Aguirre Rodin, and we're going to begin today's show with Pedro. Pedro Aguirre established Aguirre and Dabney Architects in 1960. The firm is now Aguirre Rodin, a professional services corporation engaged in the business of architecture, engineering, construction, and program management, providing solutions to help clients achieve their vision. Pedro has also served, as I mentioned, on the Dallas City Council as the second Hispanic councilman. He was the first architect elected president of the National Bankers Association and has been chairman of the board of the Pan American National Bank in Dallas. Aguirre Rodin designs, develops, and manages programs, facilities, and construction with a mantra of the can-do spirit that gets the job done. Well, Pedro, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, in reading your bio, it's interesting how you decided to go into architecture when you were 9 years old. So talk about the first job you had with your dad and how that led to your career now.
Well, my dad, as I see now, was perfect. And one of the things that he did was he taught me how to work. And we always seemed to focus on the things that other people didn't want to do, because at the time it wasn't that easy for people like that looked like me to get a job. And so we specialized in tile and slate, which is very difficult to do,
this
especially
is for,
in the summertime.
For roofing.
And so I grew up, I'm the first male, and so from the day I was born, I was anointed by my mother as her Santísimo Hijo, which means I'm the guy that's going to run the show when my dad's gone, period. Whether you're ready.
Hijo I got.
And so I was never more than a handshake away from him, and that included every summer up on the roofs. And come September, summer months in Dallas, it's very difficult because it's hot as homemade sin, I tell you. And according to what I was able to see on the job was the fact that it didn't make any difference what the situation was. There was a guy that used to come and stand under the tree and look up. My dad would realize who he was, and he'd go all the way down, normally two-story homes, and go all the way down, and he would comment on how the roof looked and directed what to do. And so my dad would come up and carry out. I always was impressed with the fact that my dad had to go down the ladder and come back up, and he never got out of the shade. And so after a while, I remember realizing that he was the architect, and that's what I thought would be the best for me, is a job in the shade.
And the rest is history. Well, it's interesting where you grew up, too. Tell everybody exactly where you grew up and what that is right now.
Well, I grew up in the barrio in Dallas. And, in fact, right on McKinnon, we call it McKinnon, and it's right to the entrance, the north entrance to the south entrance to the air, to the toll road. And so I grew up there, and I look back on it now, I realize, you know, my family must have had that touch of Midas. Look what we did for the street. I tell people over and over and over that the Azor was built to commemorate where I was born and raised, and nobody has ever countered that, so it must be true. I love everything about Dallas, but the one thing that I always wanted to do was to go and enjoy the things that other people do. And so 1970, I built a home in North Dallas, and I'm still there. And so that has been a pivotal moment in my life, because that's my hobby, is my wife, my family, and my home.
Well, we were talking a little before the show started, and it's obvious that your attitude and that can-do spirit has caused your company to get to where they are right now. But let's go back before 1970 to 1960, and prior to that, you graduated from the Texas A&M University, College Station. You started your business in 1960, but you had a partner as Robert Dabney. How did you two meet and start the company?
We met at school. He had attended Woodrow Wilson High School, and I attended Crozier Tech downtown, which is where the Mexican students were at the time. And I went to a technical high school, and so that was quite a bit of a challenge getting to get into A&M, but finally did. I met Robert Dabney there. And so we were not really all that close when we were in school, but when we left A&M and went and served in the Army and then came back, that's when our relationship flourished. We had started studying for the examination together, and that's the thing that made things a lot easier for me, because I always assumed that I would be the guy in the back that nobody sees, just getting the job done, and I'd need somebody that was more acceptable to go get the work. And so that was our arrangement. But 3 years after the fact, I realized that we were going to start doing that, and so I had no option but to go out and start doing the selling. And so we had 26 years that we were partners, 50-50, and he died prematurely at age 56. And so it was a wonderful partnership. We never had anything in writing, and we agreed that the way we would run our business would be if I made a proposition or he made a proposition, all we had to do was veto on the other side, and we never talked about it again. And that lasted for 26 years.
Well, today you're Gary Roden, and you have the great big sign on North Central Expressway right near Royal on the yes. east side of Central. Tell everybody what you do now. What is your firm made up of?
We are a full-service organization that is engaged in the business of engineering, architecture, construction, and program management. We also provide a very wide series of ancillary services that we have found makes life easier for our clients. Our first objective is to serve their needs first. And so that effort has developed over the years, and it was primarily the biggest change that came about was in 1984, when President Reagan changed the tax laws. The only way that you could take advantage of shelter, you had to be at risk on the mortgage. And so that just wiped us out. And so we started over. And so, but it's been a constant effort to try to take care of the client's interest first, and then we just grow naturally. We do whatever is in the best interest, and then whatever happens, their interest comes first, and then fill in their requirements and making sure that we understand what they need and what their objectives are, that's what we do best. And so it has been a long, long time. And, you know, we started August of 1960. So after only 55 years, we look like an overnight success.
In 2 months, you'll be hitting that anniversary at 55. And, yes, you had a 55-year overnight success
yes.
to become successful. The focus appears from what you mentioned is your client. You do everything for your client. But you're also a family business now, too.
Yes.
Who else is in the business that is part of the family?
Well, I have two of my children in the business with me, Peter, the oldest son, Lisa, my oldest daughter, and Gary Roden is her husband.
And he is now
our partner. Yes.
Partner, so it's a Gary Roden. You didn't bring – your company was not like it is today. You added pieces of the company along the way. What did you add to become the company you are today?
Well, basically, you know, we started out in the beginning during the 60s, and people like me had a very difficult time getting a job. And I remember distinctly coming home and talking to my dad, and he was asking me why I was looking gloom, and I said, well, you know, I'm having difficulty finding work. And he says, well, how's that? I said, well, it's been difficult for me to get jobs. And he said, wait a minute, you went to college for 5 years, and you're registered by the state of Texas, and you're still looking for a job? I don't want to hear about that ever again. You do whatever it takes. And so I decided that I didn't have much of an option when that happened. And so we made it a success by doing the things that other people didn't really want to do. And so I started out on the industrial side. And just little by little, when I had a client that we were doing some apartments with, and he decided to go back to the oil patch, left me with three projects halfway through, and I woke up one day, and there I was developing apartments. And so I've always been very easy to get interested in anything that I thought I could do, which is just about anything that I have a challenge with. I always look at it from the standpoint that I can do it, and I owe that tutoring to my mother.
There's a quotation that I tell people that I heard. I didn't hear it specifically. It came out in 1942. Is that successful people do the things that failures refuse to do, which apparently is what your company has done to become successful. Tell everybody one more time, Pedro, how they can get a hold of your company.
Well, it's very easy. For one thing, we have a very, very central location in Dallas, and we get a lot of recognition from that exposure on Central Expressway. But more than anything, we are concerned about serving people and finding people that need someone that is really going to be concerned about their interests first. And so we provide all the ancillary services that they need in order to make good decisions. And we have a new concept that we've been underway with for about 5 years now. And that is that we're going to start focusing on the engineering side, the construction, and all the other technical issues. And it fits right with us because my partner, Gary Roden, he's a mechanical engineer, and so he'll be at the helm, and he'll be driving the business forward, and we're just looking forward now to making a good transition so that everybody that's involved with us has a future.
Gary Roden is agirirodon.com, AGIRIRODEN.com. You can also get more information. Pedro, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. Appreciate you having here. You are the can-do spirit that gets the job done. Pedro Aguirre is CEO of Aguirre Roden. But don't go away. We're going to talk about steaks with the Queen of Steaks. We're going to talk to Dee Lincoln and her new ventures when we come back right after this.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at WOKC.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're going to talk about steaks, and your mouth may water for the next couple of minutes. We're going to talk to Dee Lincoln, who co-founded Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse, but resigned in 2010 after an extremely successful era and the sale of the iconic brand. She embarked on a new journey to build her own brand by opening Dee Lincoln's Tasting Room and Bubble Bar in the new Cowboy Stadium back in June of 2009. In 2013, Dee made the decision to go back to her roots and do what she does best. She now owns and operates Dee Lincoln Bubble Bar Events. And in April of 2014, Dee opened Dee Lincoln Steak Bar in Plano. She's also returned to her roots with a fall 2015 opening of an upscale prime steakhouse in Fort Worth. Well, Dee, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, you're referred to as the Queen of Steaks. How did you actually get started in the restaurant business?
Well, I started in the restaurant business in 1982. I met my original partner, Dale Wamstead, who both of us were born and raised in New Orleans. And actually, he had had not good success with Popeye's Fried Chicken franchise. So decided that if he was going to stay in the restaurant business, he was going to go upscale and he was going to go into the luxury brand.
Interesting, going from Popeye's Fried Chicken to a luxury steakhouse.
Luxury steakhouse, but had a passion for cooking. And so I met him in 82, shortly out of school, and actually was visiting with him to talk about marketing and advertising. And he told me, you are definitely in the wrong business. You belong in the hospitality business. And he says, I have a proposition. I think that we should do this little small steakhouse in Gretna, Louisiana, right outside of New Orleans.
I've been to Gretna.
And his passion was going to be the kitchen, and I was going to be in the front of the house. And that's exactly what we did in the early 80s.
Well, tell us a side story, because you were in the promotional business and the pin that he wanted to buy from you that everybody wore.
Yeah, it was ironic because earlier you were sharing your story about attitude, and I think that there's so many people that doesn't realize that that is the most important part of success, and it's the epitome of your personality and caring and culture. And I just think that it was interesting because I was trying to talk to him. I knew this restaurant was going to be opening, about menus and matches and all the things that was going to be stuff that he would have in the restaurant. And he said, I want you to do something for me. He says, before you make this transition, I want you to do a lapel pin for me. And he says, and I want it to say attitude. And I want all of our servers to wear it and all of our, you know, back of the house. And so I did that. And shortly thereafter, I was out of the ad specialty business and in the restaurant business.
It's amazing what attitude can do for you. Well, you are, for a lot of people, including me, we talked about this before the show started. I recognize Dee Lincoln and her voice and Del Frisco's, all those tied together. Well, you're no longer with Del Frisco's. You have your own venture. How are you leveraging that so people know about your new steakhouses and your bubble bar?
Well, interestingly, that Dee Lincoln and Del Frisco's did go hand in hand, and it was a great journey and certainly is an unbelievable brand. However, fortunately for me, in 2009, when I made the decision that after selling twice, okay, we sold Del Frisco's in 1995 to a company that was already public and was really an unbelievable, not only the sale, but the fact that Del Frisco's wasn't just the Dallas brand. It was truly recognized as a national brand. So it was a game changer for sure. But as we spent the 11 years and then it went back into a private equity firm, I really wanted to stay on this journey, but I realized that my entrepreneurial spirit was not going to allow that. I mean, it was just something that my passion and my motivation, we were on different missions. And so I had an opportunity to have dinner with Stephen Jones and work with the Jones family as they were building the new Cowboy Stadium. It's now AT&T Stadium, of course. But I wanted to do something different. And you know, even though I just love steaks and big red wine, I wanted to do something different with tapas and wine and champagne, because I traveled and I love food and always want to see what the new trends are and what people are doing. So realizing there was an opportunity in the stadium to do something unique, I had seen this great little concept with these cuvee systems and thought, wow, you know, I want to do this little wine bar. So I actually shared that story with the Jones, and I said, I want to do Bella Vino. And to Jerry's credit, he's like, Bella Vino? No, D. Lincoln is a brand. And if you want to establish your own brand, even though it's tied with Del Frisco's, then you need to call it D. Lincoln whatever. And so I had to start thinking about a name. But that is how the establishment came, which was 5 years ago.
So you are the brand, D. Lincoln. And one of the websites is dlincolns.com. The other one is D. Lincoln Steak. Well, you just talked about the bubble bar in AT&T Stadium. But talk about your what you have now. You have Plano, you have Dallas, and upcoming Fort Worth. Tell everybody where each of those is and will be.
Well, so shortly thereafter, that was in 2009, as I said, when I opened up that location. And it's seasonal, but what it did is exactly what I needed it to do. It's a great little spot. I think that it'll be in the AT&T Stadium for the rest of my life, and certainly I hope for the rest of my daughter's life to be able to see that. But it did establish the brand, and when people saw it, even though they tie back to my career with Del Frisco's, now 5 years later, I'm blessed with everyone thinking more about D. Lincoln and where she is today and what her future holds. And so in 2011, I opened up an uptown location across from the Crescent, and it was much larger than the location in the stadium. So it started out to be tapas, wine, champagne. Then I eventually added spirits, and then after that, I brought in pretty much a full-service restaurant. However, I had two floors in that location. It's right across from the Crescent at the corner of Cedar Springs and Pearl, so a very good location. And I was doing a lot of private events. And so I saw an opportunity to make the Bubble Bar events completely private. There's a big market for private events, and there's a huge market in outside catering. So after 2 years of being open to the public, I decided to make it a full event space, and that was last October, and that's been great. So not only are doing weddings, rehearsals, corporate, team building, a lot of Christmas parties, it's also opening up a lot of doors, like I said, for offsite catering. So it is uptown. However, dlincolns.com does direct to all the inquiries, and I have a nice team of people that work with me, and we do a lot of off-premise, and in as well, we do a lot in the building itself. And then 2014, D. Lincoln Steak Bar, which is located in Plano, which is actually in my backyard. My daughter has been at Prince of Peace for 11 years. She's now going to John Paul. I've lived in that area since I moved to Dallas, pretty much. So it was an opportunity for a neighborhood steakhouse. So it's very much like a grill, fresh seafood, steaks, nice chicken, pork chops. So it's really on the lines of a grill, but I just liked D. Lincoln Steak Bar.
Well, you have a great quotation on your website, which is dlincolnsteak.com. I'm known for steak, but everyone loves a great burger.
Yeah, so, I mean, and every steakhouse has a classic burger. So for sure, if you're not in the mood, you can still have a nice glass of wine or a bottle of wine with a burger. However, we've been very fortunate that location has become one of the favorites for steaks, and when you don't have to get dressed up and put a business suit on. And so not as much corporate dining there. It's more neighborhood. And so through that, and interesting, you mentioned the radio commercials. I never realized how powerful my voice was until I actually was in that location and in the dining room several of the nights. And people still talk about those radio commercials and say, when are you going back on the air? Or even more importantly, they think that I'm on the air, and I haven't been on the air probably in 10 years.
That's interesting how that works. So tell everybody exactly where your Plano location is.
So I'm at Park in Preston, 4701 West Park, and it is just a little bit east of Preston on Park Boulevard. And that location, like I said, is a neighborhood spot and doing well, and very excited about what's coming up in the fall in Fort Worth.
How about Oak Lawn?
Oaklawn is not going to open. I pulled out of that project and did that probably 3 months ago because of the opportunity to go back upscale in Fort Worth, which will take...
And talk about that. That's a museum place?
That's a museum place, so at West 7th and University, and a brand new development. And originally thought I'd do it a little bit more casual, but I have a lot of great friends in Fort Worth and all my Kyletime buddies, and said, hey, Dee, you need to go back to what you know, and more importantly, what your guests expect. And that's one of the things I learned is we can't confuse the consumer. They have to know exactly what you do. So I decided to do that location and go back completely upscale and do another prime steakhouse. And so I'm very excited for that location.
That should open this fall?
In the fall. Should be October. And it's exciting because I get to build that one from ground up, which is nice. So I can put all my own personality in it rather than working with the second generation.
What better place to put a steakhouse in Cowtown? Perfect spot to have a Dee Lincoln's. You've had a lot of success. We were talking about this earlier. You've actually, for both our guests, you were an overnight success over the years. But what any obstacles that you've had in having the success for any of your ventures?
I think the last 5 years has been, you grow from it, but it's been a challenge because I did something very good for, 28 years. And it was like a well-oiled machine. I was very fortunate that through my my culture that was instilled in me, Pedro was talking about his parents earlier. And this is a time that I can actually say that my mother had spent some time in food and beverage and did not want me to be in this business. And my dad was in all field for almost 40 years. But the one thing that I'm blessed with was work ethic and morals. And, but doing something that you're very familiar with, I think sometimes when you step out, even though it was in the same room of the things that I had did in the past, going into tapas and wine and champagne and moving away from, and you mentioned burgers earlier, doing that and not just doing one Dee Lincoln prime steakhouse somewheres, it was hard. It was hard because the consumer was confused. And so, it was not quite the same journey the last 5 years. I mean, fortunately is that, I didn't quit and I love what I do. I'm very passionate about it and still feel like I got a lot of great years left in me. So I just, circled back and took all of the things that I've done and figured a way to regroup and make those ventures work and still allow me with this, always tied to the food industry, to take me back to what I'm doing now.
Well, to everybody, one more time, the two websites they can find out more about you and your locations.
DeeLincolns.com and DeeLincolnsSteak.com.
Well, Dee, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. Very happy to be on the show.
Great hearing about that. This has been a terrific show. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been great having our guests on the show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.